You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Stone and Andy Gibson here, looking ahead to the best of Wednesday's action. We've got a couple of contests at Hereford to take a look at very shortly. Make sure you tune in to William Hill Racing Radio on Wednesday, where I'll be in the presenter's chair, actually, with Chris Pimlott and Ross Brierley. So it should be an entertaining show. I'll be on babysitting duty, most likely, looking after Pimlott.
Very good.
Mr Gibson, how are you?
I'm very good, yeah. Enjoying the racing today from Kelso and Leicester. I was in yesterday as well, so I'll be heading off at after the 4:15.
Very nice. We are going to start by just looking back at a little bit of the weekend's action. There's one horse in particular that I want to focus on, because obviously everyone's been talking about Altior from the weekend, and that's fine, because he is a superstar. But there's a horse who maybe isn't a superstar, but certainly is on the map as one to be very wary of in the future, because he looks potentially high quality. That's Surname, who's now been raised £15 for his win at Ascot. Is that the right decision? £15 is one heck of a hike.
Well, it's interesting that his winning margins, if anything, don't really flatter him, because the horses that followed him home were actually the horses that came from out the back. In particular, Do It For The Village, who was ridden in last place, came through, because the horses that, in particular Benatar, who tried to close on Surname, paid a massive price, and I think Benatar ended up finishing last or second last, which often highlights how impressive a winner has actually been, because I think his winning margins have been narrowed by the fact that one or two horses came from well off the pace, didn't play a part in the race, and merely ran past tiring rivals. And they were tiring because they tried to close on Surname. He raced in an overly keen manner, I would suggest, for much of the first half of the contest. In fact, during the race, I was open-minded as to whether or not he'd gone too fast for his own good. But he jumped absolutely beautifully throughout, and he never actually looked likely to come back to the field from quite a long way out. He's well capable of winning a very good graded prize this season. They were talking about the Punchestown Festival and all sorts of the pundits afterwards. I mean, surely the obvious target for him is the Betfair Ascot Chase in February. It's run over the same course and distance that he won over on Saturday, and it usually provides the soft ground he prefers. And it will take a very good horse to beat him.
Okay.
But there might be two or three very good horses in that race. One in particular, I think, who would be still favourite. The interesting thing is, as impressive as Surname was, he could conceivably be third or fourth favourite if he runs in the Betfair Ascot Chase. Because you're going to have Waiting Patiently. He must surely go for another follow-up win. He won it last year. I think he's probably the best 2.5 mile chaser on soft ground in the country. And you've got Politilog, Surname's stablemate. He might well go for it, and Top Notch could go for it as well, depending on the ground, I feel. So if it came up very soft, I think Surname will lead for a very long way, and I think it might take something as good as Waiting Patiently to wear him down in the closing stages.
We've seen in recent days Tom Segal in the Weekender was talking about the potentially for Surname to run in the King George next year. Now that obviously will be a step up to 3 miles, but if you're ever going to get 3 miles, Kempton would be a logical place to start. And it can be a track where if you're a front runner and you get going, it can be hard to peg back. But firstly, that's a long way off. Right now, as you said, the Ascot Chase looks the most likely next port of call for Surname, but he certainly has the class to win a big one, doesn't he?
Well, mate, yeah, I mean, I don't know about the King George. I mean, at the end of the day, Tom Segal's got a very different job. I mean, he has to produce some, you know, if they say, look, we want a preview for the King George, then to make headlines, he's got to produce something that looks quite sexy at a big price. I presume Surname is still a relatively big price for that race. And it's a nice story because it's at the fore of our minds at the moment, how spectacular he looked. Will he stay? Won't he stay? You know, that's up in the air. He was racing over 2 miles until recently. Stepped up to 2.5. Clearly, at least 2.5 is his trip. He runs in a keen manner. Would he last out at Kempton against proven stays? You know, who knows? But for the short term, the Betfair Ascot Chase looks the obvious target. And if, and I think it is an if, because this horse has been a little bit in and out in the past. You could say that's because, in part at least, because he requires a right-handed track. So, for example, he flopped at Aintree last year, but that was a right-handed track. He was beaten, he was narrowly beaten by Terrafort at Sandown, right-handed track. He was beaten by Big Mark, but he jumped violently out to his right that day at Newbury, on a left-handed track. So generally, his defeats have been left-handed, and generally, he has run to a very high level when he stuck to right-handed courses.
Okay. Interesting to see what happens, though, with a Surname in the future. And talking of the future, we've got some cracking racing to look forward to.
That was a good link, that, talking of the future.
No, this isn't my first time, Andy. This is not, although it's my first time for a while. I've had a fortnight off. I've barely watched the horse race in that time as well. We do have Cheltenham coming up this weekend.
Yep.
What a cracking day it could be. What already is standing out for you as a potential bet?
Oh, as a potential bet. Oh, dear me. Well, first,
it doesn't have to be a bet, but just something of interest.
First of all, in the opening race on Saturday, you've got the Triumph Hurdle Trial. Now, Torpeo, I did some, the Nigel Twiston Davis horse, I did some time comparisons when he won at Sandown, and his was actually the worst final circuit time and the worst time from four out to the line compared to the other 2 milers on the card. They were won by Elixir de Nuts and Monsieur Lecoq, who was only rated 122. So on account of those time comparisons, he certainly hasn't supported the possibility that he's up to winning at grade two level. I'd probably prefer the horse under the same ownership, Adjali, on his form with Keldestan from Chepstow. And I wasn't really that taken with Nelson Rivers' form at Cheltenham over this course and distance last time out, where I feel the front two horses duelled and stopped to nothing and let him through.
Fell apart
so
a bit.
Those are my sort of three opinions at the moment, and Adjali would be the one I would prefer.
Okay.
But let's see which of the two, you know, I think we'll see a sudden change in the betting
when
they make a decision, and presumably the connections of that horse get stuck into whichever one is going to stand its ground. I thought there was some really interesting races on Saturday. I thought there's a horse called Glenn Forcer, looks very interesting for the time form novices handicap chase.
The form line for that one has been spectacular,
tremendous. He's one I'll be having a really good look at. Janica was absolutely brilliant last time out and beaten by a superb horse running an unbelievable final circuit time in Hell's Kitchen.
Okay.
I think Hell's Kitchen could win, you know, certainly towards the highest level over 2 miles if dropped in trip. He's definitely that quick. And I think Janica did remarkably well to stay so close to him on his British debut. So I think Janica looks, I think he'll be supported, Janica. I think he's round about the 5-1 mark with Hills at the moment.
Yeah.
But I could see him being backed between now. I think the one thing we need to be careful of, and perhaps why people will stand off him, is because Henderson was very, very publicly withdrew three horses last week from Haydock because they their blood count came back wrong. He's not the only stable that have a few horses running under par, or at least looking under par at home, but he's probably the main top trainer that's come out publicly and said so. So I think you know, maybe people will stand off that one for a little while longer.
Okay.
The Cotswold Chase was reopened.
Yeah.
Looks a fascinating renewal. I don't think the ground will be soft enough for American or Alison Montague. Black Colton's back to his trip. Valtor looked fantastic when he won at Ascot. He's interesting. I'm surprised. They said they were going to go straight to the Gold Cup with Frodon, didn't they? Or straight to Cheltenham or the Ryanair or the Gold Cup with Frodon. So it's quite interesting to see him in this race. Elegant Escape, I thought he would have a longer break after the Welsh Grand National. There's actually not many in that race that I would fancy. So I think that's probably a race I'll get interested in. Valtor and Black Corton at the moment look mildly interesting.
Yeah.
In the Ballymore, Champ puts his Ballymore hurdle aspirations on the line, or perhaps he doesn't, because he was actually 6-4 2 days ago. He's now more like 3-1. And Birchdale has actually attracted the money. Same trainer, same owner. So
at the moment, two and two together.
At the moment, the vibes are saying it's Birchdale and not Champ. I thought Brewing Up a Storm would probably, when he came fourth to Champ, I thought he was the one in that race that was likely to improve more than the other runners. And I think Brewing Up a Storm, I think we'll see another step forward from this horse, and I think he'll probably finish in the three.
Okay. Some fascinating races, though, aren't they?
Yeah, it's great.
To look forward to, and we've not even touched on the Cleve Hurdle there, which arguably is one of the better ones and will be touched on later editions of the William Hill Racing podcast. But as you've heard from Andy, that could be a good day for Messrs. Munir and Suede, from what you've said there.
Maybe so.
Could have a few winners. But all that to come a little bit later on in the week. As for Wednesday's action at Hereford, of a slightly different quality to that at Cheltenham, but there's still winners to be found. Which is the first race that you want to have a look at, Andy?
The first race we're looking at is the 110 at Hereford.
Which is a novice's handicap hurdle.
Yeah, and the horse that caught my eye is Essa Party, or Eka Party. I think it's Essa Party, EC. Venetia Williams' horse. Now, I was at Ludlow on the 19th of December when this one ran, behind Oakley.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't given the hardest of races. That was his second run for a mark. He has since run Chepstow and finished down the field again, and has acquired a very interesting mark of 112.
Mm.
Now, Oakley came out after Ludlow and won a really nice handicap hurdle at Kempton off a mark of 128, 129, and looked really impressive in doing so. He's clearly a 140-plus horse. I don't think Essa Party will be up to that level, but I can see him rating higher than 112 in time. I'm not privy to any inside information from the Venetia Williams yard, so I don't know if today's the day, but I think there's a really, at least a reasonable chance that they'll be having a go in first time in a handicap.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he'll be an each way price.
So
he looked of some interest on, I think, what is quite a tough day.
And that is, of course, Venetia Williams, who has, in the last few weeks, just been ticking along. She obviously has her quiet spells and then her hot streaks, but it has been certainly better in the last month than it had been previously for Venetia.
A little bit, yeah. She's had two winners from the last 15 runners in the last 14 days, including a winner on the 20th of Jan. But some of hers, you know, she's had a few horses run well and be, you know, one or two be beaten narrowly. She had a few tailed off, but, you know, at prices like 66-1, you wouldn't be surprised to see them tailed off. So I think she's in okay form. And I think there's, you know, Essa Party has enough going for him tomorrow to make him worth, you know, worth a small each way bet.
What's your other fancy then?
My other fancy is in the 215, which is the maiden hurdle on the card. It's run over 2 miles, five and a bit. And I thought the Evan Williams horse, Bold Plan, looked interesting. Now, this one is running, the negative with this one, let's get the negative out of the way first. The negative with this one is that this is its third run for a mark.
Mm-hmm.
And so with Evan Williams, there's a possibility that we will see an improved performance once this horse acquires a mark and runs in a handicap. But he's run with real promise in each of his first two runs. At Newbury first time out, or the hurdles first time out, he was third behind Echo de la Novary,
mm-hmm.
with Mr. Fisher in second place, who's obviously gone on to better things. Now, I think it's fair to say Mr. Fisher needed that first run. But Bold Plan was on the premises jumping the last, only run out of it from the last to the line. And he followed up by finishing third at to Rouge Vif and Oakley,
yes.
The aforementioned Oakley at Southall. So I think it's good form. I'm not absolutely certain, I'm far from certain, in fact, that tomorrow is the day. But when you look down the runners, he's actually rated 126, Bold Plan. Well, he's the highest rated horse in the field.
Mm-hmm.
So even if he wins this race, beating a horse rated 125 or a horse rated 122, which are the only other two horses rated, he's not going to go up much, if at all.
No.
He might only go up £2 or £3 for winning. The prize isn't great, but he might go up £2 or £3 for winning just over £4,000. I don't know if tomorrow's the day, but I think that whatever happens, I think he'll run well, and I think he's a horse to be interested in, certainly when he acquires the mark.
Okay, that's a bold plan. In the 2:15, a couple of fancies then at Hereford for Andy Gibson. Thank you, Andy.
You're very welcome.
Enjoy Wednesday's action, and enjoy the action of the weekend. The same to you, listeners. We'll catch up with you again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.